I asked Rob to lead the song this evening. Every time I sing it, I look at it like a barometer, and I ask myself whether these are just words that I'm singing or whether they are still a longing desire. And I think as Christians, we kind of go back and forth when we're sick, when we're jaded, when life turns terrible, when bad things happen. This song really becomes something that we feel and we understand. Other times when life is going well, when there are wonderful things about to happen, we're looking forward to things, then sometimes this song is as a reminder, not simply just something that we sing because we long for it, but something that we need to remember from time to time. And so this evening, what I wanted to do is I wanted to compare what the scriptures say our attitude ought to be and how scriptural this song actually is with what our own attitude is. So we want to start with Abraham. This is found in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. It says, "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place where he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited," and this is the key, verse 10, "he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God." So Abraham clearly dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country. He was a stranger. He was a foreigner for two reasons. First of all, because the promise had not yet been given to him. But that's not the main point here. The main point here is that he wanted a different country. He wanted a different city. God had already revealed, and let's look at this next verse, and then we will go ahead and make some applications. These all died in faith. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Sarah. Those are the people who are mentioned before this verse. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. I think as Christians we understand our life doesn't really begin until this life is over. This life is simply a place to determine where we will spend our eternity. Will we spend our eternity with God in a spiritual body, in a spiritual home, living forever in the love and the righteousness and the holiness and the godliness that we long for so much in this life? We want to be what God wants us to be. We feel very uncomfortable around the people in this world, their vile language, their cursings of God, their setting aside of God's commandments, their setting aside and using their lust for things that are despicable and things that make us uncomfortable. Truly, this world is not our home. And these people, our fathers, these people illustrate that. Now, the question that I want to pose is, because that's what Hebrews 11 is in there for, is for us to compare how we feel and how they felt. And if we feel the same way they felt, then we're like them. If we don't feel the way they felt, then we're not like them. So these all died in faith, not having received the promises. So will we. We will die in faith. We will not receive the promises that are described here, until this life is over. And so the question is, are these promises so important to us that we can actually, as they did, what does it say? Saw them afar off, were assured of them, and confessed, "I don't belong here anymore. They don't speak my language. Their priorities are not my priorities. Their goals are not my goals. Their plans are not my plans. Their enjoyments are not my enjoyments. I see something better. I'm a stranger. This world is not my home. I can't feel at home in this world anymore." They didn't receive these promises. They saw them afar off. So do we. As I said, sometimes we get busy, our life gets focused, we look at our children, we look at plans for the future, vacations, and those promises dim a little bit. But they need to always be very important to us. Because those who say such things, what things? That this world is not my home. That I'm a stranger and a pilgrim. That I am waiting for a city whose builder and maker is God. Those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. Now, God is intensely interested in this, brethren. Matter of fact, we're going to read in a moment where it says, God is not ashamed to be called their God because they seek a homeland. They declare plainly whose side they're on. They declare plainly by their emotions, by their attitudes, by their goals and their longings. Verse 15, if they had called to mind the country from which they had come out, they would have had an opportunity to return. And brethren, we've seen a lot of people do it. We've met people along the way, people we loved, people we hoped to share eternity with. And suddenly, they remembered what they had left behind. Like Lot's wife, they remembered it with longing, and they went back. So, there's a couple of points there. They declared when they left their country, when we are baptized into Christ, we are declaring plainly that we know there's a God, that we know that there's another whole realm, an existence that transcends this one. An existence that is eternal, whereas this existence is mortal, this existence is temporary. So they had the opportunity, but here's the verse I really wanted to focus on. They desire a better. That is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Don't you find that fascinating? There's a lot of wicked people in the world that you might think God would be ashamed to be called their God. Sure, they've been baptized, they've been cleansed, but the kind of people they are. But what God is ashamed of is when we call to mind the country that we went out of, and we look back on that with longing, what God has offered us so much. He's ashamed of that, for him to have gone through all that he did. But these people, they desire a better, heavenly country. A country whose builder and maker is God. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. He has prepared a city for them. So when we say this world is not my home, we're encapsulating all of this. Abraham lived as a stranger. He lived in tents. He recognized, I want a city that builder and maker is God. And when those rest of those people, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, they were seeking something. They wanted something. They were strangers. They were sojourners. So, with this longing, that's why I ask the question, are these words or longing? Are they just a song? Pretty song? Uplifting song? Are they true? This world is not my home. I can't feel at home in this world. So, looking at all these verses, Peter to the elect who are the sojourners of the dispersion. If you call on him as Father, pass the time of your sojourning in fear. I beseech you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts. Is he talking about me? Is he talking about you? Or is he just talking about them? I know he's talking about those people in Hebrews chapter 11 because that's exactly how they felt. They felt like they were strangers and sojourners. Peter proclaims through the Holy Spirit that all Christians are sojourners, passing the time of our sojourning. You remember in the next book he says that I will be leaving my tent. As Jesus signified, I'm going to be leaving this realm to go on to the next realm. Hebrews 11:13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but seen them and greeted them and confessed, "I'm a stranger. I'm a pilgrim on this earth. This world is not my home. My treasures." Remember Jesus saying this in the Sermon on the Mount? "Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust can consume, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where they will be eternally ours." We are strangers and pilgrims. So we have to make a choice. Here's what we were. We were strangers and aliens from the life of God. And then, when we became a Christian, we became no longer strangers and foreigners to God, but fellow citizens and members of God's family. So here's our choice. We can remain strangers and aliens from God's life. Let's read the verse. "Therefore remember that once you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision," verse 12, "at that time you were without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." That's the country from which we came. Who would want to go back to that? Who would want to go back without Christ? Aliens, strangers, no hope without God. But then now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Now, isn't it interesting that what we've been talking about up to this point is that we are strangers and we are sojourners and we are pilgrims and aliens to this world. Now he takes us back and he says, now here's the country, excuse me, from which you came out. You were without Christ. No hope. Without God. Aliens, strangers. Now you're no longer strangers and foreigners to God. But now we are to this world. We have to make a choice. We can't be. We'll see a verse toward the very end of this lesson. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. Whoever makes himself a friend of this world is an enemy of God. So it's our choice. We can be at home here and aliens and strangers to God, or we can be strangers and foreigners here and be fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's family. That's what Hebrews 11 is in there for. This is a group of people that we want to be a part of, that we are a part of. If we are a Christian, if we believe in God, if we have left behind the worldly view and we accept what the scriptures say. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. This is what God did when we became a Christian. When we heard the word of God, and we believed it, and something stirred. Something stirred within us. Fear and hope. And as we heard more, we believed. And then we changed our mind and repented. And we began to confess, "Jesus is the Christ. I know He's the Christ." And then we were baptized into Christ. At that moment, God delivered us from the power of darkness, where we were without God, where we had no hope, where we were aliens and strangers. And He transferred into the kingdom of the Son of His love, where now we are no longer. Then Philippians 3, "For our citizenship is in heaven." I always appreciate that verse. Every time I read it, I kind of marvel at it. It doesn't say will be. Our citizenship will be in heaven. Yes, that's true. But it's not true. Because the moment we become a Christian and we've been transferred, when we've been translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love, our citizenship is in heaven. Because my soul is now with God. It's still within my body, but God has redeemed it. My name is written in heaven, and on the judgment day, God will separate me, and He will bring me to that eternal kingdom, that city whose builder and maker is God. Our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly wait for the Savior. That's how a stranger and a sojourner feels. I can't wait to leave all this behind. Now I know, and Paul knew it too, to depart and be with Christ is very far better. To begin this new life is very far better, but to remain is more needful because we feel the responsibility and obligation to the lost and dying of this world. But that doesn't preclude the fact that we are strangers and pilgrims and that our life doesn't begin until we are raised in glory and in power and in a spiritual body. And that's exactly what it says here. He will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. So we are eagerly waiting, and we're walking in the footsteps of our forefathers who were also eagerly waiting, who also believed that they were strangers, sojourners. This world is not my home. So it's not just a song. It is an inner longing of the faithful. It is a song that encapsulates everything that the scriptures teach about the attitude that we have to this world once we become a Christian. Now you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who were once not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims. That's what a sojourner and a pilgrim is. It is someone who is part of the elect race, which is another way to translate chosen generation. You are an elect race. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood because Abraham is our father, and David and Levi, we are related to them. We are kings and priests, and we reign with him on this earth, but only by faith. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation, his own special people. I'm a stranger. I'm not like everyone else. I don't want to be like everyone else. I'm ready to go to be with the Lord. This world is not my home. He's called us out of darkness into light. We once were not a people, but now we are part of the commonwealth of Israel. Now we are no longer strangers and sojourners. Now we are fellow citizens, right along with Abel and Enoch and Noah. We're the same. We're just like them. Because just like them, we've seen the promises and we have confessed we're strangers and pilgrims. And that's why verse 11, he says, we are strangers and pilgrims. So God made us a chosen generation. God made us a holy nation, a royal priesthood, his own special people. Do we believe it? Do we have that sense of what's coming? That the treasure hidden in a field, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. We've bought that field. That treasure is ours. And we aren't mindful of the country from which we came out. We don't want to return. We are eagerly waiting for the Savior who will transform this lowly body into conformity with his glorious body. So just as strangers and pilgrims, we leave behind the lust, because brethren, it's only the lust of the flesh that make us feel like this world is a good place to be. Without that, this is a world of woe. This is a world of darkness and despair, a world of no control, a world of wickedness and ungodliness and dishonoring of God, a place we don't belong. And it's only those lusts of the flesh that would lead us to look back on it and say, you know, I gave something up there that I want to have back. And this world is not my home. People like that, they don't think like that. That's exactly what Moses did. Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Don't you find it interesting here that the writer of Hebrews inspired by the Holy Spirit, is telling us that Moses had exactly the same feelings that we do. That he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. I esteem the reproach of Christ greater riches than America. When we became of age, now we call it the age of accountability, Moses became of age at a certain point in his life. Now we know it was 40. I'm not exactly sure that that's what this means when it says he became of age. I don't think it meant when he was 40 years old. I think it meant when he became old enough to make that choice, just like we did. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He had been raised in all the wisdom and power of the Egyptians. But he knew he was a Jew. He knew Abraham was his father. And he refused, just like you and I, to want to remain in this world. Verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. The people of God that started with Abel, who suffered affliction from his brother Cain. And Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Moses. And time would fail me to talk of Jephthah and Samson and the prophets. Choosing rather to suffer ill treatment or ill affliction with the people of God. So Moses came out of a country. And he had the opportunity to return, but he chose to suffer ill treatment with the people of God. And he refused to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Like I said, that passing pleasure of sin, that's the bridge that takes us back to the world we came out of. We can't build that bridge. I beg you, as strangers and pilgrims, do not give in to your fleshly lusts, which war against your soul. So Moses became a stranger, a sojourner. Moses could sing that song as he was leaving Egypt. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up. I don't want the treasures of Egypt. I want the ill treatment because I see the recompense. I see the reward. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for. You know, it's hard to get these two Greek words into English. Literally, this is looking forward to with anticipation and excitement. Looking forward, waiting for it to happen. Hastening means hurrying it up. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait for it. It is going to be such an exciting day. When the heavens are dissolved, and the elements melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, and here's that word promise again. They didn't receive the promise, but they embraced it. They accepted it. They saw it. The elements will melt, but according to his promise, they look for a new heavens and a new earth. Are we that city whose builder and maker is God? That country from which we had come out of, and the heavenly country that we're going to. We confess that we are strangers and pilgrims. We sing, this world is not my home, not as words, but as longing. As God has said, I will dwell in them. I will walk among them. I will be their God. And they will be my people. How bad do we want that? And what are we willing? What price are we willing to pay? Therefore, come out from among them. You're a stranger. You're a sojourner. You don't speak their language. You don't wear their clothes. You don't get entertained by the way they get entertained. You are coming out from among them. You're a stranger. You're a sojourner. Your goals, your plans, your heritage, your attitudes are coming from above. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you. You shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So let's sum up for a minute before we go to the next step. What exactly are we affirming here? As we started the sermon, we talked about this world is not my home. Then we went to Abraham, who was told, if you leave your country and you come to the land that I show you, I will make of you a great nation, and through your seed all nations of the earth will be blessed. And then some of the things he said that we didn't read in Genesis is, I will give you a city. I will build a city for you. He looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. So here's Abraham leaving his country. And then along with him, Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob, they're doing the same thing. They're accepting those promises. And they're saying, I'm a stranger. I don't belong here. And then we started adding to it, and we started looking at all these various things that he's expecting us to do. And there is a terrible clash between God's world and our world. If the world hates you, Jesus said, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore, the world hates you. And that's the reason why we must always be a stranger and a pilgrim. We can't coexist with them. Not peacefully. Because they demand that we become like them. That we stop teaching what the Lord teaches. That we stop longing for the things that the Lord has asked us to long for. If the world hates you, because you're a stranger, because you're a sojourner, just realize something. It hated me before it hated you. I've always been a stranger and a sojourner on the earth. I've always known this world is not my home, that I'm just passing through, that my treasures are laid up beyond the blue, that the angels are beckoning me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. That's how Jesus felt, and that's how we feel. Don't you know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. We have to be strangers and sojourners and pilgrims and aliens. There can't be any other way. We can't have a friendship with this world. We can't be longing for the things in this world. Because all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. You know, this is an important point. There's a lot of beauty still in this world. Sunrise, the sunset, the seasons, the flowers, fruitful seasons, beauty. That's going to continue on. That's not why we're strangers and sojourners. We're going to receive the same kinds of things, beauty, when we leave this world. The problem with this world, all that is in this world, the reason I'm a sojourner, you're a sojourner, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life are not of the Father, but they're of the world. They speak a different language. We can't speak their language. They live a different life. So we have to become strangers and exiles because they want us to side with them. But in that compromise, we would make ourselves an enemy of God. And so, since Jesus was killed and shed his blood because he refused to compromise, we will also refuse. And we will continue to sing that song. This world is not my home. I don't want what's here. I love the parts of God still shining through. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. We see the beauty. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who takes care of all of your needs. That's God's side of this. The reason we're strangers and pilgrims is because the world hates God. And the world is filled not with the will of God, but with the rebellion that Satan introduced. And that's why this world is not my home. Why I'm just passing through. And why my treasures are laid up. And why the angels beckon me. And why I can't feel at home in this world anymore. And as we conclude our lesson this evening, I'd just like us for all to think about, especially in light of what we talked about this morning, all the terrible things that the world is now forcing upon people that we want no part of. Because this world is not our home, and we're not interested in what the world is interested in. And so, brethren, as we prepare now to sing our final song and carefully consider the things that have been said here and determine whether we need to do anything about it, I'd just like for all of us to think very carefully. When you sing this song, do you mean it? Can you feel it? Can you sing it with longing, with a sense of anticipation, hastening and looking forward to, eagerly waiting for a Savior who will transform our lowly body because we're citizens of heaven? If we can help you in any way to become a Christian or to make your life right with God, we invite you to come while we together stand and sing.